Well, good morning, everybody. How are y'all? Yeah? You good? Man, I'm pumped. I've had way too much coffee already today, so here we go. All right, so we're going to be Mark. So y'all can open your Bibles to Mark. My name's Clayton. I'm the pastor here at Central. I'm pumped that you guys are here with us. It's a little different here because all the kids, you know, aren't in here right now. But man, it's I'm glad what they're doing over there. We got a ton of kids over there. They're baking cookies or doing something crazy. I don't know what they're doing over there. It's nuts. But I saw it over there earlier today. It looks fantastic. I bet the kids are having a blast this morning. But man, if you would like to follow along with today's message, grab your phone, scan this QR code that's right up here on the screen. Yes, your phone will catch it all the way that far away, and you can follow along with the message today. And you can actually get the cheat sheet, and you can see all the answers, and so you can just check out, or you can just leave, or whatever. No, don't do that. Stay, but you can get all the answers from today's message. And we're in the middle of a series called, Did He Just Say That? And we're looking at some phrases that Jesus said that might be actually kind of a little bit different than some of the things that we kind of understand and know about the Lord. And I get it. It's Christmas time. And Jesus is what Christmas is all about. I mean, I'll just say that right up. I mean, Jesus is it. And we celebrate Jesus during Christmas. And I think it's pretty cool that we get a chance to actually look at some of the crazy things, some radical things that he had to say. And so we're going to look at one of those things today. You know, when during Christmas, it's also a time for gifts, right? I mean, just to be honest, it's time for gifts. How many guys are done with your Christmas shopping? Anybody? Okay. Some of you guys are done with your Christmas shopping? I'm not there yet, but I'm getting close. And you know how it is when Christmas time comes, your kids give you a list, don't they? Right, I mean, our kids, they texted us, we have two teenagers, they texted us their list, so we have exactly what they want. Some of them even, they put like the address, like the Amazon, you know, link for the actual gift, so we know exactly what they want. My niece sent the whole family a slideshow, okay, of all the gifts that she wanted for Christmas. Now, that is awesome, okay? Anybody else do that, okay? Yeah, right there. So, man, that's pretty cool. They know exactly what they want, and we know exactly what to get them. But you know what happens when you get someone a gift? You got to hide it, don't you? You know, if you get it early, you've got to hide it. And so where do you hide it? I mean, maybe under your bed, in the attic, somewhere. Well, at our house, we hide it in our closet, okay? And my wife warned the kids, said, if you go in the closet, you're dead, okay? Like, you're not getting it. Like, that is off limits. Do not go in our closet, because in the corner of our closet is all the gifts. My kids are, Corbin's here somewhere. Hannah's six, so she's probably watching online right now. Don't go in the closet, okay? That's where all the gifts are, because we want them to be a secret, right? Because that's no fun when you open up a gift that you've already seen, you know? Where you accidentally saw what it was, and you're like, oh, you have to pretend like you're excited. I want them to be excited on Christmas Day, so we're keeping it a secret. And the reality is, for us this morning, is that Jesus should never be a secret on Christmas, you know? Jesus should never be someone or an idea that we keep a secret at all. In fact, that's what the Great Commission tells us to do. Jesus tells us to go and tell, doesn't he? To go and tell people about him. That is one of the core principles of the faith, is we're supposed to go and tell people about Jesus. We're not supposed to keep him a secret. In fact, there are several times where Jesus, he would heal someone or do something miraculous, and he would tell that person, he'd tell them, go and tell your story of what has just happened to you. For example, in Mark chapter 5, in verse 18, the Bible says this, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And so Jesus has just healed this demon-possessed guy, okay? And Jesus is leaving, so he's like getting in his car and saying, I'm out of here, okay? So he gets in his boat, the transportation of the day. He says, I'm leaving. And the guy says, can I go with you? And Jesus says, no. This is what verse 19 says. He did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. He said, hey, go home. Go home and tell everyone, tell your friends and your family exactly what I have done for you. Now, that's an easy lesson for us this morning. Like, that's an easy lesson about sharing our faith, so we can just pray and get out of here, okay? I mean, that's it. That's the shortest sermon, but we're not going to do that, okay? So that is an easy message for us this morning, but the reality is that Jesus often said something different. He didn't always say to go and tell. In fact, Jesus often said, tell no one. Tell no one. Which is kind of crazy. That's kind of radical. Doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem true. But it is. In fact, there are 7 instances in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, that Jesus said this. And so we're gonna actually just stick into, we're going to stay in Mark pretty much the whole time, just so it kind of flows naturally. So if you have your Bibles again, open to Mark. And we're going to look at some instances where Jesus says, tell no one, which sounds really kind of crazy. Bet you never heard a sermon where Jesus said, tell no one, right? So here's what happened. In Mark chapter 5, that's what we'll start out off with today. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus, he's ministering around the Sea of Galilee, and there's like this huge crowd that is following him, and he goes up to this religious ruler named Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is sick, and Jesus trying to get to her, she dies, and here's what happens starting in verse 41. The Bible says, taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumai, right, which means little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. So saying, hey, she's old enough to walk, okay? And they were immediately overcome with amazement, and he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, that's odd. I mean, why would Jesus say that? Like, let me just be honest. In my vanity, if I'm going to do something awesome, I want people to know about it, okay? We're all the same way. I mean, if our kid scores a goal, we post it, right? If we don't burn the cookies, we post that. You know, like, look at all the cookies. If we put up our Christmas tree before Christmas Eve, we post it so everybody can know, you know, just how good we are at the things we're doing. Like, if I was going to raise someone from death, I would want everybody to know it. You know, I'd have the camera crew with me. You know, I'd always have my social media posts all lined out and ready to go. Like, I would want everyone to know about this. And Jesus says, tell no one. Don't tell anybody about this. You know what? This wasn't the only time. In Mark chapter 7, so if you flip over just a little bit to Mark chapter 7 and verse 34, he meets this deaf guy. He's deaf and mute. And the Bible says that Jesus, he sticks his fingers in the guy's ears, which is kind of weird, okay? So he sticks his fingers in this guy's ears, and then he spits on his hand, tells the guy to stick his tongue out, and grabs his tongue, okay? That is not COVID-friendly. Don't do that today, okay? But that's what he did. And here's what happens. Jesus says this in verse 34. He says, be opened. And verse 35 says, and his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them, again, to tell no one. Confused yet? Are you a little confused, a little worried about, like, why is Jesus saying this? Because later on in the Great Commission, it says, go and tell. So what is Jesus, what's going on here? Why is he saying the things that he is saying? And I think to understand that, you got to go all the way back to Mark chapter 1. So we're going to look at this little narrative here to see why Jesus would say, tell no one. So Mark chapter 1, he calls his first disciples, okay? And then he starts performing some miracles, and word gets out, and people are amazed, and they begin to ask, who is this guy? And in verse 28, we read about it, and it says this, at once, his fame spread everywhere, throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. So he becomes kind of a rock star in this moment, and so the Bible says he immediately leaves this large group that's gathering around him, and he goes to Peter's house. And they go to Peter's house, they close the door, they shut the windows up, and they're trying to get away. And the Bible says that people are all around them. Look at verse 33. The Bible says, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. The whole city had come around to Peter's house, and they're saying, we want to see Jesus. We want to see him. And so Jesus, in his compassion, he begins to heal them. And the Bible says he begins to cast out demons, and he doesn't let the demons speak either. He tells them to be quiet. Why would he tell the demons to be quiet? Well, verse 34 tells us why. It says, because they knew him. They knew who he was, and he said, shh, don't tell anybody. And the very next day, look what Jesus did. Verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So he got away early in the morning. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. So the disciples are looking for him, and they found him and said to him, here's what they said: everyone's looking for you. Like, we have a whole nother line of customers ready. They're ready for the store to open, okay? The healing store to open, so you can heal some more people. People are wondering where you are. And Jesus says this. He said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And then Jesus meets another guy. He meets a leper. Look at verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." I mean, he's begging Jesus, okay? Being a leper, man, that's bad news in that society. He didn't get close to a leper. You sure didn't touch a leper. And here's what verse 41 says, that Jesus was moved with pity, and he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus, he sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him again, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." Do you see what's happening here? Like, do you see a pattern? Do you see something that's going on? Do you see the motivation of these people? These people had a motivation for wanting to meet Jesus and wanting to see Jesus. They wanted something from Jesus. You see, the people, they wanted free stuff, right? From Jesus, they wanted free stuff. And I put this, that they wanted the free stuff, not the word stuff. I love to go to conferences. It's just kind of my thing. Our staff is like, whatever. But I go to conferences all the time. And one of the reasons I go to conferences is because almost every conference or like ministry fair type thing, they always have these expos. And at these expos, right, Noah? We just went to the Oklahoma Baptist one, Oklahoma City. And we spent quite a bit of time, probably too much time, at the expo where all the booths are, because they give away all the free stuff, all the good stuff. And so Noah and I are walking around. We're like, "Hey, can I have that pin? Can I have that?" Whatever, you know, we're taking t-shirts, and we had backpacks, and we had all this stuff. In fact, we came back home from this conference, and we went back to the office, and we had two backpacks full of free stuff. I mean, it was like Santa Claus early, you know what I'm saying? And so we were like passing them out to the staff, and we were heroes, okay? I love free stuff. You go to my office is full of pins that I did not pay for. I mean, it was free stuff, okay, that I got at all of these different conferences. I mean, that's how we are. We love free stuff. And the people of that day were coming to Jesus because they love free stuff as well. And the free stuff they wanted from God was to be healed or to have their problems fixed. And my question for us today is, are you the same way? Are you coming to Jesus? Do you follow after Jesus for what he can give you? Like the free stuff that he can give you? What are you searching for in your relationship with the Lord? Are you looking for healing? Are you looking for all your problems to be fixed? Are you looking for all of your issues in life to be put in front of Jesus and he just mows over all of them so you have an easy life? Is that what you're searching for in your relationship with God? You see, what the people wanted from Jesus influenced why he said what he said. The reason the people were coming after him and surrounding him caused him to say, "Tell no one." And here's the reason. Here's the reason I think that Jesus said that. It's because the people were more focused on the miracles he performed rather than the message he had to proclaim. All the miracles that Jesus was doing, they were focused on that. I mean, that was what they wanted. They wanted him to fix all their problems. They wanted him to heal them or heal their friend or a family member. So they're bringing all these people to Jesus because they wanted these miracles to happen in their lives. They weren't interested in the message that Jesus had to proclaim. They were distracted. And they were distracted from the hype for his healing. And they were missing the message. That's what was going on. Which is really interesting. If you kind of read all of the Gospel of Mark, or especially chapters 1-7, you kind of see this over and over and over again. These people, they were missing the point of the whole thing. They were coming to Jesus for the healing instead of his message. I mean, even at the end of Jesus' life here on this earth, King Herod was the same way. When Jesus was about to be crucified, they send Jesus to King Herod. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 23, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. It's up on the screen. Here's what happens. When Herod saw Jesus, he was glad. Why was he glad? Okay, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him, and he was what? He was hoping to see some sign done by him. You see, Herod, he wasn't interested in the truth that Jesus had to proclaim. What did he want? He wanted to see a spectacle, didn't he? Like, he was dazzled by the idea of seeing a miracle and being able to tell people about this miracle that Jesus performed in front of him. So my question for you is, what about you? The reality is that Jesus can offer you more than a miracle. He can offer you hope. He can offer you forgiveness of your sins. And that is way more important and way more powerful than a miracle or even healing. You see, Jesus, he had a purpose and a reason for coming on this earth. I think that's an important thing for us to figure out and realize today, that he had a purpose. And his purpose wasn't just to heal people. You see, Jesus, he is on and was and is, he's on a mission to invite you to the gospel. That is his purpose. That is the reason that Jesus did all the things he did. That's the reason he came on this earth, was not just to heal people. The reason he came on this earth was to tell people the good news and show them that he is that good news. It was not just to heal people, but to teach them. To teach them about their sin, to teach us about our sin, to teach us the reality that we need a Savior, and to teach us the truth that he is the answer. That is the message that he came to preach and to teach people. But something kind of got in the way. And the miracles and the people wanting the miracles is what got in the way. And the reality is the miracles are just kind of a part of that journey. I mean, we don't want to discount the miracles, but they were just a part of the message. They were a part of the mission. And the mission was, the reason for the miracles was to point people to the gospel. And so Jesus would perform miracles a lot of times and first. Like, that was the first thing he would do. When he'd go into a place, he would feed people, or he would heal someone or do something amazing, and people would go, okay, I want to hear what you have to say. And oftentimes that's what Jesus would do. That was his formula, was to go and to tell, not before he told people stuff, he would actually go and he would heal them and take care of them. You know what he was doing? He was meeting their needs first. Right? And I think that's a great thing for us to get this morning, is that as Christians, we need to be like Jesus. And how did he reach people? He reached them by meeting their needs. My question for us is, are we showing people that we care about them? Are we showing that we truly, you know, love them? Are we meeting people's needs, or are we just yelling the gospel at them? I think that's what a lot of people on the outside looking in at Christians is, that they're just yelling at us. They're just yelling the gospel that we need to get our lives fixed and we need to get right with God just like they are. And so instead of actually showing them we care about them, we just yell at them. And that's a hard reality to kind of wrap our minds around this morning. But that is the truth. A lot of people, that's how they perceive the Christian church, is just a bunch of hypocrites yelling at us, trying to tell us to get our lives right, instead of showing that we love them and showing them that we care. Because that's Jesus' model, guys. That's what he did. He would heal people and say, you know what? I got a message for you. Let me show you how much I care about you by providing for you. And then he gave them the message. But you notice what most people did? Like, when Jesus would heal people, and he would say, don't go say anything to anybody, what would these guys do? Yeah, like, they're like, great idea, Jesus, but I'm gonna go tell everybody what has just happened. I mean, look some of these times we've already looked at. Mark chapter 7, when he heals the deaf mute guy, remember the ear to the ear, grabbing his tongue? Here's what happens in verse 36. The Bible says, the more he charged them, the more zealous they proclaimed it. Okay? So the more Jesus said, don't say anything, like, seriously, guys, I'm not playing around, don't tell anybody, they're like, okay, whatever. And they went and told everybody. Verse 37 says, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. We got to tell people about this. I'm telling you, if I was deaf and mute and I couldn't do that, and all of a sudden I had the ability to speak to people, I'd be going and telling people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would be going and doing that. Look at the story of the leper in Mark chapter 1 in verse 45. After he heals this guy, it says this, he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus, get this, Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. They were pumped. Wouldn't you be pumped? Wouldn't you be excited? Jesus healed you. I mean, changed your life forever. You would want other people to know about this. I mean, you'd be telling your best friends. You'd be telling your family. Anybody that you knew that had an issue, be like, hey, I can get your issue fixed. I mean, come on. Jesus can heal you. He can cleanse you. He can make you new. I mean, these guys were so excited and full of zeal, they disobeyed Jesus. They got ahead of God. And I think that's an important point for us to kind of sit on for a minute. That getting ahead of God is a foolish endeavor. Have you ever gotten ahead of God? These guys did. It affected the gospel going out. The Bible says that Jesus, he couldn't even go into a town. And so he and his disciples had to stay outside of these towns. They would go to these towns where the people were. And he couldn't go in because news about him had gone in front of his ministry. And Jesus is saying, don't tell people. I've got something else. I got something bigger in store for people. But they were going out and telling people. They were disobeying God. And I was wondering, is that something we do? Like, do we get ahead of God, especially like in the middle of our desire for someone to be saved or our zeal for someone to change, for the life to be changed? And I wonder how many times that God is like massaging someone's heart. You know, like someone who is far from God, that maybe has never heard the gospel, and God is like massaging their heart and opening them up to the idea that there's something bigger than just this life, and God is working on them. It takes a long time, and it's in his timing, in his plan. Or maybe there's someone who used to go to church, and they've been burned by the church. Maybe they've been abused by someone. And they are like, there's this wedge between them and God. And God is slowly like working that wedge out. And he's slowly working on their hearts. And we come by with the Bible and just smack them across the face and say, get right with God, right? Because we're so excited about the gospel. And we want people to hear it so bad that we don't even think about God's timing. And the reality is that God's timing is perfect. And sometimes we get ahead of God. We want things to happen fast. And when they don't happen, we get frustrated. We're like, where are you, God? Like, I thought you wanted this person to be saved, life to be changed, or whatever. And we get ahead of God. And the reality is, all that is sin. It's sin. Because God's timing is perfect. I mean, look at it. Jesus, he could have been, people wanted him to be this hyped up, like revolutionary. When they looked at him being the Messiah, they were looking at interpreting the Old Testament, and in their circumstance, being controlled by the Romans, they thought the Messiah was going to be a military or a political leader that's going to come in and fix everything. And they see this in Jesus, that he has this potential to do this. He has power more than anybody ever has. He's saying things that no one else has ever said. They're like, he is it. And so they're trying to push him to become something that he wasn't going to become. And Jesus could have done that. He could have said, you know what, that's who I'm going to be. I'm going to be that. But he says, no, I've got something bigger. I'm going to die for you. And it's going to take time for this whole thing to work out. And so he says, tell no one. Now later in his timing, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, go and tell everybody, right? But it's a part of God's process and a part of God's timing. Proverbs 3:5-7 says that we're supposed to trust in the Lord. We're supposed to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The Bible says, trust God. What the Bible is saying is that God has a plan. Even for your lost neighbor, your lost friend, your family member, that kid that has gone astray, God has a plan for them. And we got to be careful that we don't get ahead of God and mess up what God is doing and mess up God's work, because God's timing is perfect. But that's what these guys did. They got ahead of God and they messed up everything. So Jesus is like, I can't even go into the towns. I can't even tell people about the gospel. I can't even share this message that I've come for. I can't even do that because so many people have disobeyed me and they've gone ahead of me and tried to force what they wanted to happen. Are we doing the same thing? What it is, it's disobedience. When we get ahead of God, it's disobedience. That's what they were doing, and sometimes we do the same thing. Now, the crowds, they kept pressing around Jesus to do more and more miracles, and they were wanting him to heal them, right? And they were wanting him to feed them and show them just something miraculous. Show us your power, Jesus. They wanted to see those things. And the Bible says that Jesus, he couldn't even get away at all. Like, he couldn't even get away to rest. He couldn't get away for anything. And his message or his persona was going out and it was going viral, and he was literally exhausted. That's what the Bible kind of weaves throughout this story, is that Jesus, he was just tired. Do you remember the time when Jesus, he calms the storm? Y'all remember that? So on the Sea of Galilee, the storm's raging, and Jesus, he tells the wind and the waves to be still. Y'all remember that story? What was he doing? He was sleeping, right? I mean, look at it. Mark chapter 4, in the middle of this same story we've been going through. The Bible says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. So, I mean, literally, Jesus, again, he's in the middle of this narrative, and all these people are around him. And the Bible says he leaves the crowd, he gets on a boat, and it's like, hey guys, let's go to the other side. And it says that other boats are following after him. Those guys are like, I got a boat, let's follow after Jesus, you know, and they're the disciples' boat, let's go. And the Bible says in verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filled, but he was in the stern, what was he doing? Asleep on the cushion, okay, or asleep on the couch. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are about to perish? You not care that we're about to die? And I've always thought that the reason Jesus was asleep was to prove his power. That, like, he wasn't concerned about the winds and the waves, you know? Like, and you could take that in message and go, you know what? Jesus, he's not concerned about the winds and the waves in your life and all the troubles in your life. I mean, he's so in control that he is asleep. Like, it's not even a big thing for him. And that's a true message. I mean, Jesus is all powerful, can deal with all those things in your life. But I don't think that's why Jesus was asleep. I think he was asleep because he was exhausted. He was tired. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The Bible says that the apostles, they returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So he had sent them out. And he said to them, guys, I realize it that you're tired too. You're tired too. He says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. The Bible says, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Or other versions said, they didn't have time for a meal. This is what was happening in the middle of this story, that these disciples and Jesus, there were so many people around that they had no time to rest, and they had no time to even eat. And Jesus recognized that this was a big problem, and he says this is what happens in verse 32. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So Jesus gets in the boat again. It's like the boat was their way of getting away. You know what I'm saying? It was their, how many guys like to just go on a drive sometimes? You know, like, I got to get away for a minute. That's what was happening. Jesus and the disciples, the only way they can get away was get out in the middle of the sea and just get away for a little bit. And the Bible says that people saw him getting on the boat and they told everybody. And all of a sudden, everybody from all the towns are coming around. You can just imagine Sea of Galilee, a big place, not like a lake here in Oklahoma, but huge. You can't see from one side to the other, but it's big. But you could see the shoreline. You could see just thousands of people kind of running around trying to catch up with Jesus and his disciples. He couldn't get away for anything. Here's what it says. Verse 34 says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He saw them.
The Bible says that he had great compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now, there's something fascinating here that I've noticed, that Jesus' disciples, they were being run ragged by demands and expectations for good things. It wasn't bad things. People weren't asking Jesus to do something sinful or wrong. They were asking him to heal them. Jesus was, he was running like crazy, doing ministry, and it was causing a problem. So I think there's something else we need to think about today. For us, if you're not careful, too much ministry and too little rest can hurt your relationship with God. As a pastor, as your pastor, I just want to say that. I know what it feels like to do too much. To do too many good things that hurt your relationship with your family. To do too many good things and not have enough rest that hurts your relationship with God. And Jesus was concerned for his disciples. He was concerned because he was dealing with that as well. They couldn't even catch their breath. But you know what? Jesus had compassion on people, you know? I mean, that's what the Bible just said, that he had compassion on them. So he gets out of the boat in the middle of his exhaustion and says, okay, everybody sit down. Let me teach you something. You know what he did just the next moment? He fed all of them, all 5,000 of them. In the middle of his exhaustion, Jesus, the Bible says he had so much compassion on them, and they realized that they were like sheep without a shepherd, and they were out away from town, and they needed a meal, and Jesus heals, he feeds them and creates this incredible miracle that we've done, you know, tons of lessons on, and we've heard it since we were little, that Jesus fed 5,000 people. And the reality is, Jesus was exhausted when he did that. He was tired. And if we're not careful, too much ministry and too little rest can really affect us. Now, I get it. Guys, let me say this. Jesus, he's fully God, okay? I'm not saying that he's not fully God. Jesus is fully 100% God, the creator of the universe. He knows all things. He is the man. But you know what? Jesus, he's also fully human as well. He's fully human, and so he got tired as well. And here's the deal. If Jesus couldn't handle that schedule, neither can you. Neither can I. If Jesus was exhausted and realized it and be like, man, I need some rest from ministry, then I think we need to look at that as well. One of the core values that we have on staff at Central here is to do less better. I think it's really easy just to do more and more ministry and like run around like crazy. And that can be exhausting, can't it? It really can be. And for some of us in this room, you've been doing ministry for like 87 years, like over in the kids ministry, okay? And you don't even like kids. And you're like, why am I even doing this, you know? And the reality is a lot of times you're just filling a spot. Or you're like, I've got to do this because the church needs me. And you know what? You ruin your relationship with God by doing ministry too much. Or maybe the wrong kind of ministry. And that's a weird message, okay, up here to preach, is that maybe we need to take a hard look as a church and go, what are the things that we're doing that are kind of getting us sidetracked? That are kind of messing up our focus from our primary mission, which is to tell people about Jesus and make disciples. Are there things that we're doing as a church that are kind of running us ragged? You know, COVID has allowed us to take a hard look at some of those things and say, you know what, we're not going to do some of those things anymore. It's going to free us up to be able to actually do the things that God has called us to do. And so as a church, that's something we have to constantly ask ourselves. And our staff, our leadership, we're always constantly doing that. But you know what? I think you need to do the same thing for your life. Are there things in your life, good things, ministry things, that you're doing to the point of exhaustion that's keeping you from a deep relationship with Jesus? Do you find yourself spending hours every week doing ministry but never getting in the Word? Never praying? Never getting alone with God? That's what the disciples were doing. In fact, that's what Jesus was doing. So he'd get away. He would try to find times to get away. And he warned his disciples, you need to do the same thing. You know, Jesus, he was focused. He was focused on his mission. That's why he told people, hey, don't tell anybody right now, guys, please. I'm begging you, don't tell anybody. Because I know how bad it's going to get. I know how crazy ministry is going to get. He was focused on this mission. And the reality is we need to be the same way. We need to be focused on our mission. How can we do that? Don't get ahead of God. Don't be like those people that got ahead of God. Wait patiently on God's timing. Keep praying. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, but wait patiently on the Lord. And the last thing we need to do is we got to get rest. If you're doing too much, I just want to say this as your pastor, stop. Stop. Your relationship with God is more important. So take a hard look at the things that you're doing and say, you know what? I want to get my relationship with God back on track. Because then you know what happens? Ministry becomes fun. It becomes a blessing when your relationship with God is done the right way. What a crazy message. Tell no one. Why would Jesus say that? Well, he's teaching us something today. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for a crazy message this morning where Jesus says, tell no one, and we get it. The reason is because people were getting ahead of God. They were getting ahead of Jesus' mission on this earth, which was to proclaim the gospel. And they were focused on the wrong things. So Jesus, I pray that you'd help us for us to be focused on the right things. Focused on the Jesus things. Focused on the godly things. The simple things like telling people about Jesus and making disciples. Man, if we as a church would just do that, things would be radically different. Help us, God, to be focused like Jesus is focused. God, help us to not get ahead of you, but to really trust you, like the Bible says. That we would lean not on our own understanding of that situation, that relationship, that person that just needs to get saved, lives need to get changed, and we're worried about them, and we're maybe forcing the issue. God, help us to be patient on you and to partner with you and ask you, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to not say? And how can I love someone to you? How can I earn the right to share the gospel? Maybe I need to do that first. Help us to do ministry like Jesus did ministry. And God, help us to get rest. Help us to see that it's okay to say no to something and to get alone with you. May our relationship with you be of utmost importance. So then out of that fullness, God, we can go and do ministry like never before. Help us, God, to be obedient to your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.